Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care, working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon, a show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Debbie Brook, founder of Homeopathy World Community, talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. Today is July 13th, 2010, and you are listening to show number 50 of Who's Reading the Organon. We'll be reading aphorism number 16. And we start off normally with a couple of inspirational quotes from Twitter or elsewhere that has come our way, some kind of signs or information that we're supposed to get about what's happening in the universe and on our earth today. And the fact that we've talked previously about numbers being really important, today is show number 50. And I'm thinking, what significance does this have? And I was reading a little bit that it is a high octave 5, whatever resonance that has to do to bring into our lives. It's freedom loving and versatile, new ideas and willing to take a chance. It's a very good number indicating success if you're doing a contract or if you're a member of a large organization or society. So there's a lot of information going on with number 50. You know, it is 5 times 10. Numbers ending in 0 have an importance of divine protection. And I think of it as being half of 100, kind of midway point. And so I have a little quote. I hear Vera is with us.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Vera. A little bit something lighthearted to begin and then into the heaviness of it all. There's a quote by Hugo Black that says, "When I was 40, my doctor advised me that a man in his 40s shouldn't play tennis. So I heeded his advice carefully and could hardly wait until I reached 50 to start again." which means that, you know, we can always start things fresh and get our youth back, or whatever way you want to talk it, but I thought it was really good. Heed your doctor's advice and see what you get from that. And then there was another quote by Kurt Vonnegut, and this one is a little bit terrifying. He says, "True terror is to wake up one morning and discover that your high school class is running the country." And I mention that because there's a lot going on in this world that we wonder how in God's name it is happening. And there are a lot of people who are trying to not be so friendly to our own society of homeopaths. And so there, that leads into the news. And there has been news coming into my email box about stirrings in Germany to reduce support for homeopathy, and this blows my mind because it's Hahnemann's very own birthplace. And so the Social Democratic Party has demanded that homeopathic treatment should not be reimbursed by public national health insurances because it is a treatment which lacks any proof. Now, how the heck do they get that idea? I don't know. And he has been seconded today by a politician in the Conservatives. Nevertheless, the current Minister of Health is more or less in favor of the existing system. And this whole discussion is circles around a way to save money. And it always comes down to the bottom line, to money. And they don't understand how homeopathy can save money and save lives at the same time. And there's an editorial article from the magazine Der Spiegel, which also brings up old news. And if anybody has language skills, we can get in there and read what's going on and inform us. We would like to know. In the meantime, we should all work hard at tweeting and blogging and telling everyone the benefits of homeopathy. Dr. Nissan Nambison, MD, has put a link on to HWC that says the WHO, the World Health Organization, reports on the legal status of homeopathy worldwide. It was a review from 2001. So I don't know how that affects us in 2010. Do you have any comments? I'm literally shaking because of this news. It's very disheartening to hear, but we have got to pull together as a group of people who love homeopathy. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just don't see it as that surprising that that Hahnemann should come under attack in Germany because he did in his lifetime.
Uh-huh. Well, what is it about 2010? 2010, something, there's world catastrophes, earthquakes, volcanoes, oil spills, and Hahnemann is right in there with them. We stirred up.
Yeah.
So, okay, what does Hahnemann have to say about aphorism number 16? Maybe we can get a bit of wisdom.
Okay, let's go into it. I'll read it?
Yes, please.
Okay. Our vital force, as a spirit-like dynamis, cannot be attacked and affected by injurious influences on the healthy organism caused by the external inimical forces that disturb the harmonious play of life, otherwise than in a spirit-like dynamic way. In like manner, all such morbid derangements of diseases cannot be removed from it, from the vital force, by the physician, in any other way than by the spirit-like, dynamic, or virtual, alternative powers of the serviceable medicines acting upon our spirit-like vital force, which perceives them through the medium of the sentient faculty of the nerves everywhere present in the organism, so that it is only by their dynamic action on the vital force that remedies are able to re-establish and do actually re-establish health and vital harmony after the changes in the health of the patient, cognizable by our senses, the totality of symptoms, have revealed the disease to the carefully observing and investigating physician as fully as was requisite in order to enable him to cure it. Now, here, again, we're talking languages, I think. Once you determine that disease is speaking a dynamic immaterial language, and it's the vital force, the disease is in the vital force, then we need the remedy to speak to the vital force in its language. The vital force is immaterial, dynamic. Therefore, our remedy, in order to speak to the source, must be immaterial and dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting thing, though, also that I notice in this aphorism is, you remember we were talking about how in aphorism number 6, I think, yeah, where in number 6, Hahnemann talks about how the unprejudiced observer, the true physician, notices only the deviations from the former healthy state of the now diseased individual, meaning we look at what changed. And then in aphorism 7, Hahnemann goes on to talk about the totality. And the totality is very often considered to mean the entire human being, all his faculties and histories and dreams, and whereas from aphorism 6, the totality would seem to be referring to those symptoms that have changed, the total picture of the changes from sickness to health. And in this aphorism, just by the way, that view is completely backed up, because to repeat, Hanuman says, it is only by their dynamic action on the vital force that remedies are able to reestablish, and do actually reestablish, health and vital harmony after the changes in the health of the patient, cognizable by our senses, in brackets, the totality of the symptoms, have revealed the disease. So here the totality of the symptoms are very clearly referring to those symptoms which are changes in health. The symptoms could be mental, physical, emotional, but it's the changed symptoms. It's not the totality of who this person is. It's the totality of who this person has become because of sickness.
It's a good thing that you're very observant and were able to pick that up and bring those two points together. Great. And from yesterday's talk we had together, I was thinking how we're given our gifts and our tools around us. And I've also very much heard that there's often something, an energy substance in the environment itself. In other words, if whatever spirit has given us, it has also been able to provide the answer within our reach. So if we look around us, we're going to be able to find something that will care for this ill person. And I just thought that was an interesting concept. If anybody else has heard of it, you know, I know that Kaviraj has often said, what's growing in your garden, Debbie? And my remedy will be in there because he's into agro-homeopathy. But it's true. For me, I think that there is something in our life that will be an answer to our illness. Have you heard that?
Food for thought.
Food
I
for
don't
thought.
Have a
okay.
garden. I'm wondering if there's something in the dust in my floor that can be used as a remedy, but then there probably is.
There could be something somewhere in your environment. Who knows? But,
one of the things that I find interesting, but also in the light of what you were saying before about people pulling together to support homeopathy, when we're talking about language, we're talking about language that people can understand. The vital force speaks an immaterial language, and it expresses itself in symptoms, but the immediate being of the vital force is immaterial. It's spirit-like in a dynamic way. And so the language of the remedies is to speak directly to the vital force, not through the intermediary of the symptom. So we don't suppress a symptom with a cream because the skin is dry. We go straight to the vital force and suggest in an immaterial way, through the immaterial language of the diluted potentized succussed remedies, we speak directly. I think that as homeopaths, we need to be speaking one language. And I feel at present we're speaking to many languages, and we're speaking many different languages, and we have a veritable Tower of Babel in homeopathy. But that is an entire can of worms that I don't think we want to get into here. But
you just opened the Pandora's box, the lid to how do we unify our one voice. And yet we live in a world, in a material world, where we come from many different countries, cultures, accents. What is the word? Even in my own state of North Carolina, there must be two different dialects, you know, people who came from many different origins.
One of the reasons for my interest in the Organon is because I see Hanuman's Organon as the only true unifying voice for homeopathy, because the Organon is homeopathy. So if people are more linked to it and more referenced to it, then I feel homeopathy will have a more unified voice. And I mean, this is my feeling, that a lot of the confusions and problems with homeopathy resulted from a deviation from the Organon. Not because I feel the Organon is the Bible, far from it, but I feel the Organon represents homeopathy.
Presents
and represents.
Personally, I do not think that in the political arena, I think there's always going to be this opposition, no matter what. And yes, we do need to study the Organon and understand
opposition
it.
Opposition to the Organon or opposition to homeopathy?
Opposition to homeopathy.
Yeah.
There's going to be this other force that has another viewpoint that is maybe only living in that material world. You see, I said it came down to money, and they're just looking after their own. And if they could understand, and this goes with everything, healing the environment, why 40 years ago didn't we institute mandatory policy for solar power and other kinds of energy as alternative energy? There you go, the word alternative again.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that there is a force that is in power that doesn't want to let go of the reins, and they don't have that vision to see that if they bring in the alternative aspect, that they could really enrich themselves more and everyone else with them. And it has to be right, a new way of thinking. Since we mentioned the word alternative, yesterday, I think it was Jacinta who said that she uses the word integrative medicine. Integrative medicine, I was looking up, is healthcare that views the patient as the most important member of the medical team and applies all safe and effective therapies without subservience to any one school of medical thought. And there is an American Association of Integrative Medicine that promotes the development of integrative medicine in the 21st century. And I don't know whether integrative medicine actually has a good definition, because it says that they couple the latest scientific advances with the profound insights of ancient healing systems, giving you the best ways to preserve health, increase longevity, and speed recovery from illness. But it's not in its own a...
It's not homeopathy, Debbie. It's not homeopathy.
No, it's not a principled... It's trying to make it all one big umbrella, but it's not... I don't know how they can integrate it. I mean, we have to find a way that we can speak each other's language, and yet, they say that there's four pillars of healing in integrative medicine, which is relationships, supporting the social support of family, friends, community, diet and lifestyle, nutritional habits and patterns of rest and exercise, healthy environment, protection from chemical and biological toxins, and detoxification, it doesn't include us.
Here again, I come back over and over again to my central point, because I think this is the only point. The unifying factor for homeopathy is Hahnemann, who developed it and who said how to do it, and the way he said how to do it works. So let's get back to the Organon.
Okay, good.
Do we have time for another aphorism?
We didn't do the little footnote.
Right.
16 has a footnote that says most severe disease may be
produced
by sufficient disturbance of the vital force through the imagination and also cured by the same means. And that was the thing that we hit upon yesterday that I said, what is he talking about through the imagination?
Oh,
Did you get to ponder on that? The most severe disease.
Not the most severe disease.
Oh,
but
I'm sorry. Most severe disease. Maybe.
But imagination can cause most severe disease, that's for sure. I think
most
here he's certainly opening up the field. And Hanuman did open up the field. He investigated a lot of different ways of doing things. I think there's a certain sense that he was very rigid and only this and only single remedies. He did investigate
mm-hmm.
combinations. He investigated different forms of healing as well. But he's talking here about imagination, and that would actually come down to, it would come down to being a symptom in terms of treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But here you could say that he's presenting a direction that could even go towards guided imagery.
Do you think so? Is this what he's talking about? I wonder if...
I think actually if we look at the footnote in context, which will help us a lot in understanding what it's about, he's saying all such morbid derangements, diseases, cannot be removed from the vital force by the physician in any other way than by the spirit-like dynamic virtual alternative powers of serviceable medicines. Now, the footnote is on the word dynamic, because what he's
uh-huh.
implying here is that the imagination is immaterial. It's non-mechanical.
Uh-huh.
It's spirit-like and dynamic. And that the imagination is something that can derange the vital force, and imagination is something that can cure the vital force. I think he's showing it as an example of what can touch the vital force. And if you think about it, if you think about the triggers for diseases, you've got material triggers for diseases, that's one thing. But then you have, excuse me, you have, and I'm sure everyone has seen this, that you have a disease which you see has been triggered by emotional abuse. Verbal abuse, nothing else, no physical, just someone hurling words at someone else. And you treat your patient, and your patient calls you the next week, and they said, I felt so good after the remedy, it was so helpful, but then a few days after I took the remedy, this abusive person came back into my life and was hurling abusive words at me again, and I felt awful all over again. So you give the remedy again. And it helps for a bit. And then you have the same negative drama coming in and deranging the vital force of your patient. And it's an obstacle to cure.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen that one? I think all of us have seen that in some shape or form.
Right. And on a more simplistic level, which a lot of people today now have come in contact with the concept of using your imagination with that guided imagery and understanding how the mind and the body are connected in some way. So if you start talking, actually we did it a while back in the previous aphorism about vomit, but let's do something more pleasant. And we talk about something like going into the refrigerator or picking a lemon off of a tree and then starting to peel it and opening it, and the little droplets are spraying into your face and into your mouth, and then your mouth automatically from that tartness begins to salivate, and you're getting this moisture in your mouth from nothing but thought.
Is this a belladonna experience, Debbie?
No, this is what whenever I've gone to healing integrative medicine programs and even yoga retreats, they mm-hmm. usually do this. They either say, okay, make believe you're eating a raisin and you've
no,
got that
just a
raisin.
Lemon.
And
it's just the lemon. Just the lemon that jumped out at me.
Uh-huh.
So you were talking about peeling a lemon. That's why I asked.
Yeah, belladonna does love lemon and lemonade and all that. But yeah, lemon has a very a fragrance that you can imagine in your senses and a very strong, potent taste, and it puckers up your lips and everything else. And so what I'm getting at here is your imagination is very powerful, effective, affecting the body. And so we didn't even, I don't even have any lemons in the house. I need to get some. but what I'm saying, it's not even there in my perimeter here. And yet, it can cause a reaction. And maybe this is partially what he's getting at here.
Well, I think it's fully what he's getting at, that the imagination is a dynamic virtual power. And as such, the imagination can derange or cure the vital force. Because the vital force's language is dynamic and virtual. So he's giving us an example of another power that is dynamic and virtual that all of us know on a day-to-day basis. And we know how much it can harm, and we also know how much it can cure. Even people who meditate on a regular basis can literally help themselves and heal themselves in many ways, because they are using a dynamic virtual alternative, this is Hanuman's reasoning, because they are using a dynamic virtual alternative power to heal a derangement in the vital force speaking its own language.
Mm-hmm. And so many of the tools today use that power. And basically what he's saying is, he's not saying it specifically here, but perception is reality in a way, so that whatever you're living with in your mind is your physical world. It's how you see your surroundings, yourself, and everybody else. So if you're looking at somebody and you think they're beautiful, maybe nobody else does, they're beautiful to you. And the same way on the opposite scale.
I think also if you take your metaphor a little further, when you see something beautiful, it creates a certain reaction in you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we look at something that's beautiful, there's a physiological reaction that goes on. There's a mental emotional reaction that goes on. Because we're looking at something beautiful and we are created to be attuned to things that are beautiful, to respond to them. So it means if you think someone is beautiful, whether they are objectively or not, it sets up the pattern of reaction in you that you are looking upon beauty. And if you think someone is ugly, whether they are or they are not, whether in person or in personality, that sets up the other reaction. So it's very interesting, because it's all the dynamic, the alternative powers, the action and reaction that goes on that we have come to ignore in our daily lives. We've come to see things just as material reactions and stimuli.
Okay.
I think sometimes because it's so difficult when we are aware of the others, but that's a whole other can of worms.
To finish the circle of this thought pattern is that our reactions are based upon our history and our experience. And therefore, when we change that, then we can have a new perception and a new reaction. And here in the last few aphorisms, you said aphorism number 6, that we have to look at what has changed. And so we're making a new perception. We're in ourselves based on something that's changed. And we're coming to change this pattern to a healthy state. And we've run out of time today. Tomorrow we will do aphorism number 17. Is there anything that you want to say to sum up for aphorism number 16?
Seeking a language? I don't know.
Okay.
Looking for a Unicode.
Looking for a Unicode. How about use your imagination to create a better life?
Sounds good. Thank you
so much, everyone, for listening. It's been fun. And we'll
see you tomorrow. Thanks, Debbie.
Okay. Thank you, Vera. Take your Organon off the shelf and read it.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.